Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I assume Lance is here. I don't see him. But that's just typical of we got us a big combine day to talk about. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there at the combine that Lance is in the middle of. We also got some basketball to talk. We got some Texans football to talk today. And then, holy crap, did you? I'm just going to put this out there. I think Steph Curry is going to be a Hall of Famer. Okay? I think Steph Curry, I'm going out there on a limb right now. He put up 56 last night. He had his 48th game where he had 9 or more 3-pointers. You know what the next guy is? Who the next guy is? What player is second on the list of most games with 9 or more 3-pointers? Del, is he even here?
No. He won't connect, or he can't connect.
He can't connect. Okay. I had a feeling that he wasn't here. Well, I can tell you who's next on the list. 9 or more. Del, do you know?
No idea.
Damian Lillard. Steph has 45 games with 9 or more 3-pointers. Damian Lillard, 14. That's how good this guy is. He had 56. He had a 20-point third quarter. He has 42 20-point quarters in his career. That's the most in NBA history. The most in NBA history. The most 20-point quarters in his career. Even Wilt Chamberlain didn't have that. How about this, though? This is crazy. February 27th. He has scored, Steph Curry, that for whatever reason, he loves February 27th. He has scored 54, 46, and 56 points on February 27th. He's got 3 45-point games. Two other players in history have 45-point games on a single date. Elgin Baylor, on February 25th, had 3 45-point games. And Wilt Chamberlain had 45-point games on 16 different calendar days. How about that? That is crazy.
Yeah,
45
plumbers.
Points Big on deal, 16. Plumbers. And the other guys are Steph Curry, who has February 27th, and Elgin Baylor has February 25th. That's it.
Well-played plumbers. Of course he had all those points.
He did. He played a bunch of short white guys, didn't he?
You get the feeling Steph Curry, if he wanted to right now, he could be scoring like 35 a game, but he's just in a different phase of his career. He's like, I'm just going to pass and score in the 20s, and I've got Jimmy Butler. But you get the feeling that when he wants to play and score a bunch, he could still do the same things he did to the Rockets years ago.
He's so good. And I went out on a limb. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think Steph Curry is going to be a Hall of Famer. So I'm just putting that out there. But. You know, I'm like that.
You won't remember this. We had Jeff Van Gundy on because he called, he and Mark Jackson called Steph Curry's college game. They had a college game. They were doing like Duke versus Davidson, and they were going to call a college game. Do you remember this, Dell? And John, do you remember this?
No.
The NBA crew called one college game. It was just kind of a little thing ESPN
wanted to do. Oh, yeah. I remember that. I don't remember this.
And Van Gundy came on with this either before to preview it or afterwards. And he just said, yeah, you know, he's a really good shooter. I just don't know the position he's going to play because he's not a point guard. So he's kind of small to be a shooting guard, and he's not a true point guard. So I just don't know what position he's going to play. He'll just play basketball.
Yeah.
He'll just whatever position it is that Steph Curry plays, that's what he's playing. He'll just shoot. He'll just become the greatest shooter in the history of the game. No big deal.
Yeah. He'll be – he is – well, I could see – and what did he last till? Sixth overall pick? Sixth.
Wasn't it later than that? Yeah, they felt like it was later than that.
I think I think it was sixth draft pick.
He was drafted with the in our lives seventh.
Seventh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Steph Curry seventh, by the Warriors. And that was a bit of a risk for them. And how did it turn out? I think it turned out okay.
It turns out he was actually the seventh best player in that draft.
Yeah.
Players ahead of him were much better. Blake Griffin, Hashim Thabeet, James Harden, Tyreke Evans, Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn. How would you like to be Minnesota and you take Johnny Flynn at the same position over Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Minnesota should be kicked out of basketball.
Wow. No, you regret that. I mean, it's always Sam Bowie or Michael Jordan. How about that? Johnny Flynn or Steph Curry?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. It's not like Johnny Flynn was some really big player.
Who was the
GM? You know, Johnny Flynn was a kind of a smaller player. He came off a really good Big Ten tournament, I remember. I mean, Big East tournament. And that was his claim to fame. He's like, oh, man, this guy's really hot right now. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it kind of fell off. Drew Holiday was in that draft. Jeff Teague was in that draft.
Nice. James Harden and Steph were in the same draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys have scored a lot of points.
Yep, a lot of points. There's a lot of points. Okay, redraft that draft.
It goes Steph Curry 1, James 2.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin 3. Or DeMar DeRozan 3.
And where's Hashim Thabeet fit?
Probably in the second round where no one made it anyway.
We're probably not drafted.
Yeah, maybe Ty Lawson, you remember him? Yeah. He liked to drinky drinky.
He lived in he was up in the penthouse in the building that we lived in on Montrose.
Mm-hmm.
He lived up in the penthouse. He was
good, burning through his money.
And
I wonder what he's doing now.
Burning through other stuff too.
He had some DUIs too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when we brought him in. We said, you know,
that's how I would have been. You know what? I'm not going to criticize because that's how I would have been a pro.
Daryl, when he brought in Ty Law, that was kind of the beginning. I should have started to recognize some things were maybe amiss.
Taj Gibson
was in the draft.
Yeah. Who else?
Like, hey, are we bringing in the DUI guy? Gibson.
How's it worked out for Texas? Well, Stark didn't get a DUI. How is it working out for them? Great.
For who?
You know, well, he didn't get a DUI, but Sark was a known partier, so it's working out pretty
well. Yeah, DUI is probably not a great thing to have. You could kill people.
No, DUI is not a great thing to have.
Yeah.
DUI's,
Pat Beverly was in that draft. Second round pick in that draft. Chase Budinger,
right on, baby. Let's go!
That was him. Chase Budinger won an Olympic gold.
He was drafted in the second round.
I don't know if did he win an Olympic gold? Did the U.S. win an Olympic gold? I don't know.
I don't think Chase Budinger won a gold in volleyball. In volleyball, I don't think so.
Danny Green was the second rounder in that draft. Very good player. Danny Green and Patty Mills.
Yeah,
were both in the second round of that draft. So you can find guys.
Redraft that and Pat Beverly might be a top 10 pick.
I mean, honestly, he would be like a top 10 to 12 if somebody wants to deal with him.
Yeah, right.
If you want him on your team.
Well, he was on a lot of teams, and he was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good player.
For your team and their team, he was a pain in the ass.
He was a very good player for your team.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's hated by the other team. I like guys like that. Hated by the other team. Yep, yep. So there was a lot of stuff going on yesterday over at your place, over there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so a lot. Today, if you want to watch me, I'll be on with Colin Cowherd live at 11:50 your time. And then I've got to record a Move the Sticks podcast to review what happened tonight, you know, in yesterday's podcast. And then I'm on, I don't know what channel it is, NFL.com, NFL Plus, I don't know, somewhere, previewing the Combine from 1 to 2 your time, and then the Combine starts. Yesterday at the Combine, defensive ends, defensive tackles, and linebackers all worked out. And the star, one of the stars of that was Shamar Stewart, as we expected, the defensive end from Texas A&M. He ran fast. He jumped really high at a 40-inch vertical leap at whatever his weight is. I got to see what his weight is. Let me check my tracker here. But he was just, you know, like everything you kind of thought that he was going to do, he did yesterday. Just a really tremendous athlete. That's never really been, you know, that's never really been in doubt. We already know he's a freaky athlete. You just want to see, like, okay, but where's the production? And I had a conversation with the here's what he did. He came in to the combine. He actually lost weight. He came in lighter. He came in at 267. He's 6'5", 267 pounds. He got 34-inch, a 7-foot wingspan. He ran a 4.59 40-yard dash at 260, what did I say, 7 pounds, 64 pounds. He had a 40-inch vertical leap, which is, you know, what guys who are explosive athletes at 210 pounds might jump or less. And he had a 10-foot-1 broad, no, he had a, oh, I'm sorry, almost an 11-foot broad jump. Like, these numbers are incredible safety. Like if you're an explosive safety, you know, an all-time great workout safety, that's what his numbers were. It's ridiculous. I took a video. I was standing right there when he did his jump. I'm like, oh, let me get this. And then that thing went viral. A bunch of people picked it up. And you can see him jump. And when you see the amount of ground that 10 feet, 11 inches for a 264-pound player is. But I know right now a lot of people are saying, what does that have to do with football? Well, it has to do with telling you how explosive a player is in his lower body, because explosion is what creates force when you want to, you know, knock people around. Like J.J. Watt, Mario Williams, these guys had really high vertical jumps for guys with big weight on their bodies and good, you know, muscle mass, which is what Shamar Stewart has. And so when you are explosive in your hips, you can fire more power into the man that you're with and you're going up against. So explosive hips for a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman is important, because it can measure the amount of force that you're able to create. And he can create a lot of force. It's just, you know, does he know how to play? I talked to a defensive line coach for an NFL team it's interesting. He made a comment about the Texans. He said when we played them, we didn't think their offensive line had any confidence. And I was like, well, that's interesting. He goes, wow. They were more confident. He said they're more confident in other games. You can see it on tape. And when we play them, they just didn't seem to play with a lot of confidence. So I thought that was interesting. But this guy said, you know, he doesn't know how to rush. And I was with Greg Cosell. He said, I like the other guy better. And Greg and I said, we do too. Nick Scorton, we like him better as well. And Greg said, well, if a guy can't rush, how do you teach him to rush? Don't you need to have a certain amount of natural instincts?
Can't you teach him to rush? Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can, but his explanation was really good. He said, what you do is, he said, I will take a guy like that, and we start with a stance. This is the stance I want you to use. And I'll make him drill it and drill it and drill it. Then we'll work on his first two steps. And Shamar, if I drafted him, is going to have to do those two steps exactly how I show him. Then on the third step, when I want him to turn in for a bull rush, I'm going to show him where his foot should be. And basically, John, he's telling you it's not going to be a lot of talk. He's going to make him emulate and copy exactly. See, this is something you can't do really with the golf swing, and you can't do in baseball with a batting swing. You can tell them what to do. You can show them, but then they have to do it. This is really – it's not a movement. Like, you're not really moving. You're showing them from a static, you know, steady position. I want your foot like this, okay? Now let's do these three steps up until you turn your foot inward like that. And he showed us – he said, I'm taking him all the way through here, then I'm showing him this move, and we're going to keep doing this move. We'll do it 100 times until it starts to get in his muscle memory. And once this coach was finished telling us how he would you get the feeling like, yeah, I guess these guys can. Now, the difference is, as they say, when the bullets start flying, you know, it's a lot easier on the driving range. As you know, it's way easier to fix stuff on the driving range than when you get out there. Well, it's like that in a game. When the bullets are flying and you're not able to walk through stuff or go three quarters and you're having to think and what's going on around you, and is there going to be movement, and you know, is this going to be a run play? Is it going to be a pass play? Some of that training, you know, it's either in your body, it has, the muscle memory has taken, or you can't quite get to it. So it's not given, but Nick Skorton is there's teams that like him better than – they like him like I like him. I haven't found anybody that liked him until yesterday, and now I'm like, okay, I think Nick Skorton is going in the first. But Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, his workout, the way he looks, the belief from coaches that we can take a freak like that and we can coach him, that's one of the reasons why, despite only having 4.5 career sacks, he's going to go higher than the other guy who knows how to play better and – you know, and has a lot more production.
Right. There's a lot of guys in college that have great production or are college.
Yeah, they don't do anything in the pros because they can't. It doesn't translate.
Yeah, then there's pros. All right, just getting started. 713-780-3776 is the number. So you Texas A&M fans should be happy about Shamar and Skorton. Skorton's going to be up there. He'll be drafted, and he may be a very, very good pro.
When we come back, I'll tell you about a Longhorn who hurt himself yesterday.
Yeah, there's more than a few stories that we got to get to. Lance is in Indianapolis, and we will continue to take advantage of that here on the show. In the meantime, right now, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVIN.com. I'm talking about my man, John Clay Wolf. I'm talking about selling your car. I don't know if you – have you sold a car? If you are in the market to sell your car, you know, a lot of times you'll just trade it in with the dealership, and that's fine because they'll give you a price at the dealership, and that's fine, and you know, and it's easy, actually. The transition is easy with taxes and everything else. It's seamless, but you know what? John Clay Wolf can do that as well. He can make the deal through your dealership so that it's seamless, and the tax implications for you buying the new car, selling this car, and buying the new car, that's seamless as well. John Clay Wolf can do that, does that every single day. And the question is going to be for you, you know, who's going to give you more? And so when you go to the dealership, you go there armed with the knowledge of how much the vehicle is worth. And then you'll also see, you know, what is the dealership trying to make me a good deal or not. Okay, so there you have it. CarMax as well. CarMax, John Clay Wolf says, if I can't beat CarMax, I will send you $100. Who is guaranteeing that they will beat another dealer or CarMax for price? Who's guaranteeing that? One guy, John Clay Wolf. GiveMeTheVIN.com. There's one place you have to go if you're going to sell your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number to hang out with us here on the show if you want to get in here, if there's anything that you want to talk about. If you were hoping for Trey Smith, don't. Trey Smith won't be coming here, the guard from Kansas City. He's going to get, I think, 23 was the number, $23 million a year. To stay with the Kansas City Chiefs, and you said that all along. He ain't going.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they're letting him go. It's hard to find help. You're trying to win. Like, it wouldn't have made any sense. It's one of your strengths. You can't let him go. I just didn't think there's any way. You pay him. You do it through franchise, and then you try to get an extension and get a long term deal. So you probably have one more year with Travis Kelce, and then he'll shut it down. He's like, Travis Kelce said he's coming back yesterday. He said, I ain't going out like that. I can't go out like that. He's going to go out worse because there's too many teams coming from the AFC. So Kansas City's not going to even get there.
He said Pat Mahomes is on a revenge tour.
That's great. That's cool. Cool story. They're not getting there. Too many teams coming. Just like they got that ass whoop, like I told you, against Philadelphia. Now you know who's coming for them.
Get beat by the AFC teams.
I've got horns up. I've got horns up.
Swarm.
If you saw my video, you'd see my swarm going.
Well, you're not connected on video.
Swarm.
Swarm.
Swarm. This team's beaten Pat Mahomes over the last couple years. So I'm not worried.
They have?
Right. Yeah, I think so, right? Well, with Bill O'Brien, maybe 3 years
ago. How long
ago
was that?
It was last year they won, right? Year before last, maybe?
No.
Yeah, we beat them there.
When?
Oh, yeah, we did beat them.
Pat Mahomes had a bad busted-up ankle.
There was that was a regular season.
How long ago? Oh, you mean with Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, no. No.
Well, it was a
win. I think us.
I mean,
no, well, yeah, Bill O'Brien was the head coach. I'm trying to think how long ago that was.
It doesn't matter. It's in there. It's we beaten Pat Mahomes. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Did you? So in your most recent games, you didn't win, but with the coach you all hate.
Basically had him beat until Tank got hurt.
Well, no, you were down by.
No, it was right there when Tank got hurt.
You were still.
They actually may have even had a lead.
No, they.
Remember in halftime? Tell me about what happened at halftime. What was it when you went into halftime?
Yeah. What happened then?
What happened before?
Did you win the
Tank
game?
Got hurt?
Well, they actually.
No,
were
but
down
I mean, in
half.
That half was
actually,
really good.
You were down at half.
You weren't leading
at half. Yeah, they were almost. You were right there.
Ah, almost.
And you had a lead at one point. So I'm not worried about them. Ravens, Bills, Texans. Just too much. The Chargers, Broncos.
By the way,
Ravens, Bills, not Texans.
Bengals.
6 short years ago, 2019, 31-24.
Six short years ago. What is that?
It doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
Three coaches ago. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's Pat Mahomes, like second.
Year. Five seasons ago. It was 2019. So
yeah. Big deal. So I mean, that's fresh off the. Fresh off the
they're still licking their wounds.
To my point,
they've won two Super Bowls since. Still licking. Their
wounds. I don't think everything that you saw that was a problem for Kansas City, it's not going away. Like they've got these problems are ingrained. They have real issues. They can't. They're bringing back
wins.
One of the guys that couldn't protect Pat Mahomes, but he's a really good guard. But these same issues live there. Like they're not going to get better. Kansas City's not going to come up. Any way you want to look at it, Kansas City doesn't have money.
Game.
They don't have money.
If they
had
a running game, it would be nice for them.
But they don't.
Yeah.
But they don't. They got the same running backs, the same offensive linemen. Nothing's going to change for them. Then I think what's going to happen is Travis Kelce's going to retire next year. He is going to go out like that. And then you're going to have enough money to do a longer-term deal with Trey Smith. So Trey Smith's not going anywhere even after the franchise's tag is done. But you better get a deal. You know, you better get something figured out with his agent in advance. As far as Houston Texans are concerned, one of the players I was keeping an eye on was Alfred Collins, University of Texas.
Yeah,
and he was a player that last year I wrote him up. Last year I thought he was coming out. He didn't. He was about 300 pounds last year, somewhere around there. You could see he was a play hard guy. I thought he was a middle rounder. This year he came back. He was a little heavier. In the spring, he was 319 pounds, so he got bigger. And, he's at 6'5", so that's fine. He carries 319 pounds fine. And he played a little heavier this year, this season, and was better, improved his stock, and thought he was pretty clearly a second-round pick. Looks like it's pretty clearly a second-round pick. Got good traits, right? Long arms and good size. But he just kept getting he was a little bigger, he was a little slower this year. Then I started hearing word that he had really kind of ballooned up and hit like the 340 mark. And I'm 340, wow, that's way too much for him. He came into the combine, and I've got two different numbers here, so I need to see which one is the correct number. One of the numbers I have for him is 334. And one of them's 332 or 333. Regardless, he's in way heavier than he should be. His vertical jump was 26 inches, which is short. His broad jump is also short, like much shorter than everyone else. His broad jump was 8 feet. Like, it's one of the worst broad jumps in the entire day. The only guy who was Cam Jackson jumped worse, and this is a real sloppy body guy, at 328 pounds, very sloppy body. He jumped to 7'9" with a 24.5-inch vertical. Just terrible, terrible numbers. It shows no explosiveness. Cam Collins, 8-foot broad jump and 26-inch. You know, he's one of those guys that he didn't run, and it's the problem. And I know everyone likes to act like this is never a problem, and that they don't study this stuff and know historically that it does become a problem. Here's the question you have. Last year he was at about 300 pounds during the season. The spring he is 319. Now he's 334 and supposedly came down from about 340. Do you not see a trend here that's going the wrong way? And it's not like he's just added some bad weight, but he's still a really, you know, explosive athlete. He's not even explosive. So now you have a guy carrying bad weight. You question, can he keep his weight down? Does he have an issue with gaining too much weight too quickly? And he's not explosive. And so this concerns people. Like, he played on a defensive line with Vernon Broughton, who's going to get drafted, Baron Sorrell, who's going to get drafted, Anthony Hill, who's going to be a first-round pick when he ends up coming out. Like, it's not like he didn't play on a defensive line full of dudes. He played with a lot of guys that could play. His job was, you know, like, he had help around him, too. So I think Alfred Collins really hurt himself yesterday. I think he went from being a second-round pick probably to a third-round pick. It may not seem like a lot, but it is money that is lost. And he can get some of that back at his pro day. I think he needs to work out again. But Baron Sorrell had a good workout, good play. He was good in the field. He had good testing, everything about him. He looks really good. Like, this is a good-looking kid on the hoof. And I think Baron Sorrell helped himself out. I think he's squarely in the third with a chance to sneak up a little higher. I think his tape is really good, really solid. But Alfred Collins hurt himself yesterday with his weight, and then
well,
his
maybe
testing
if he falls,
was just
not good. The Texans could use a big guy in the middle.
Yeah, but he's big. But is he big and strong? Is he big and hold the point? He's tall. He's not really like I don't think he's a DeMeco type of guy. Personally, I think there's other guys in this draft that are DeMeco. But DeMeco told us the other day, one of the things he said is he wants guys who get up the field and are disruptive. He wants disruptive players. I don't think and DeMeco likes traits. Oh, by the way, the same defensive line coach, you know who, when we were talking about Shamar Stewart, and I mentioned I do radio for, you know, in Houston and cover the Texans, he goes, oh, man, you know who I love who is a bad MF? I said, he goes, Autry. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, Autry is crazy hard to block. He couldn't really stop talking about Autry. He goes, if you got Autry a full year, he goes, man, this guy is, he said, he is so skilled. He can, you know, when he gets down against guards, they're just completely overmatched. So he is like a big fan of what the Texans are doing. He said, you get Autry, you get one more guy on that front that can rush. He goes, the Texans won't have to bring any more than four ever. He said, they will be able to rush four every single snap and cause problems, which was, you know, favorable. I mean, we remember Autry missed the first six games, and so then he started to come on at the end, but then there was also an injury too, I think, and then he came on at the end of the year, had a sack against the Chargers. But man, this guy could not stop talking about Autry.
Well,
DeNico,
well,
Autry,
that's different than we've been talking, but we'll see. I mean, he's on the list of possible cuts. Maybe not. Maybe that's the dog. Maybe
yeah,
he's
I don't
got
think,
that dog
don't
mentality that DeMeco loves. Maybe
yeah, I think he fits what DeMeco likes.
Let's
I
not
think
forget
Shaq
he missed
doesn't.
Six games because one of the reasons he doesn't have the numbers that, you know, is he missed the first six games because of the suspension.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not worried about the sack numbers and all that. I want to see for him since he had, you know, and he did miss other time, right, with an injury. I don't think I'm wrong. I think there was more time missed than just the suspensions. But this coach loves Autry and loves what the Texans are bringing, the rush. And he said, look, eventually they're going to get past the biggest teams. He said they have too much talent. They're going to get past the biggest teams in the AFC. He said it just takes time. And I don't want to divulge this guy's team, but he just talked about some of the issues they've had in the past that they have currently and how there's certain teams you don't match up well against and all that stuff. But, watching defensive linemen, defensive tackles, there were some bad body guys out there yesterday, and there's some guys that look really impressive. So I really had a chance. I went down on the field because I want to get a sense of who D'Amico Autry might. You know, Tyleek Williams is way heavier than I thought. He was way heavier than I thought. Defensive lineman who I think fits what the Texans would want to do. So he typically, D'Amico typically likes that whole, the traits thing where guys look a certain way. He tends to gravitate towards that. And Tyleek Williams is 334 pounds at 6'2". I just told you Alfred Collins was that way, but he's at 6'5". So you can imagine they carry it way different. Williams is going to carry it way better. It's going to look way better on him than it does on Tyleek Williams. So there's other guys as well. There's other defensive tackles as well. There's other pass rushers to look at. But I don't think they will. Like, if the Texans are looking for pass rush, I mean, they could. Yeah, I think they will, but I think it's going to be, you know, day three type of guys. And but you can never have enough rush. And I'm sure D'Amico wants somebody in the middle that can stuff the run and then somebody in the middle that can rush the passer. And maybe he just says, look, we got Autry coming back. We're going to be fine there. I need a run thumper. And if you want a run stuffer, I can find you some of those.
Yep.
Well, if he'll just like call me, if he'll just call me, I will give him a couple players he can draft if he just calls
me. I'm sure.
Nick does not have my number though. Well, I don't know if he can get a hold of me.
Well, someone's trying to get a hold of you right now, but you have your phone on Do Not Disturb. They'd like you, you know, to turn your camera on for the socials. The boss lady has said, "Get your camera on."
So nobody can get a hold of you.
Who do you think the boss lady is who wants your camera on?
What if
Abigail?
What if D'Amico was trying to get a hold of you right now? What if D'Amico was trying to get a hold of you to find a run stopper and you got your phone on Do Not Disturb?
My phone, you can text me, Dell. I'm not on Do Not Disturb.
Don't talk to me. Talk to Sam. Sam wants you to turn your camera on.
I told y'all Sam's a boss.
Oh, your boss just said turn your
camera on. No, because you know why? Somebody said my skin tone looks like country gravy.
Well, that's because you have that filter behind you.
It always does. It's also because I have light. I have one source of light, and it comes sideways from the window.
Country gravy.
You are country gravy.
Yeah, they said it looked like cream gravy.
Stay off my biscuits.
You do.
My skin tone looks like cream country gravy.
It's not great. Yeah,
that's one of the rudest things I've ever heard.
Doesn't mean it's incorrect.
No,
it's still rude.
Rude is one thing, and facts is another. We got a break. We got to talk about Billy Brown. We got to talk about getting the Brown down. Okay, what's the deal with your toilet? What's the deal with your sink? What's the deal with your pipes under your? Have you had a pipe that burst? Because if you had. If you have, you know how desperately you need a plumber. And Billy Brown, that's the number you have to have in your phone, 281-488-6238, because you never know when you're going to need that guy. And then you call there, and you might talk to Mary, you might not, you might talk to somebody else. But what you do is you say, hey, I listen to John and Lance. They told me about Aqueduct Plumbing. They told me you guys were going to get here because I've got an emergency. And you know what? That's the case. They will. They're going to get to you, and they're going to take care of any emergency right away. It's what they do. Now, if it's not an emergency, then can you hold off? Because the Aqueduct Plumbing Company, I mean, you want to talk about a business, Lance, that Billy Brown, it's incredible. It's incredible what Billy has done in this area.
Yeah, and they do, like, he's very transparent with the pricing, very transparent with the work and the service, very transparent about what needs to be done. Like, basically, you can trust him 100%. We trust him with everything he does. And I've had major jobs and small jobs done with Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing, and I'm just so happy that we have a plumber now. Like, I got a guy. You need a guy? I got a guy. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
All right, welcome back here. David says he wants to know what you thought of Melvin Tasker, and he thinks he had something to do with how well he changed some opinions at his workout, feathering his cap.
Who, somebody who didn't exist?
It doesn't, no. But I did see that Princely Umamelin does exist. I mean, that sounds like a Mockingbird's name.
No,
Princely Umamelin.
Yeah, he didn't run as fast as he plays. He's like, all he does is try to, he just basically runs around everyone every snap. Just runs right around you and has a lot of sacks. But, he's a guy who will probably go in the second round.
Yeah.
Uma, Prince, yeah.
I love that.
Uma,
what but is, that sounds like a mockingbird's name.
This is the hardest of all the seasons. This one has the hardest names to pronounce.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Eziruaku, Donovan Eziruaku, yeah, from Boston College.
Right.
You have, so, yep, as you mentioned, Princely, Emilian. Let me see. I gotta pull it up. Where is he? Princely. I know who you, I mean, of course I know who you're talking about, but it's, yeah, Uman, it's Uman, Uman Mielen. Uman Mielen. Uman Mielen, yeah.
Uman Mielen.
Princely. Princely Uman Mielen, yeah. So he's probably a second round pick.
Uh-huh.
Then you got a guy named Jihad. You got a linebacker with the first name Jihad.
I mean, that's aggressive.
That's holy war.
To be naming your
it
kid
literally
Jihad
means holy war.
Yep.
I think that's what it means, holy war, right?
I believe it does.
And I'm like, DJ, don't do any little fun little games with his name. Just stay straight down the middle on the TV broadcast. Don't get a little loose thinking
don't
you're just going to sneak one by.
Cutesy.
It's not going to be. You're not going to sneak anything by anyone. Just stay right in the fairway.
32 NFL players that need a change of scenery this offseason.
Tons
guys like Alan Lazard with the Jets, Jacoby Brissett. These are the guys who cover these teams for ESPN picked.
Oh, okay. So this is DJ Bien-Aimé who's going to say this.
Yeah, DJ Bien-Aimé.
Okay.
The Steelers, Najee Harris needs a change of scenery, according to Brooke Pryor. Who do you think needs a change of scenery for your Houston Texans? It's going to be
okay. So
obvious.
If I'm looking at it from the player standpoint, I need a change of scenery. The player. I would say.
Well, the team needs it too.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to. Okay. Well, I mean, it's either going to be your left tackle or your right guard.
It's Kenyon Green.
Oh, well,
yeah,
obviously.
Well, I mean, that's,
I almost feel
that's
like he shouldn't count. He doesn't play.
It's pretty obvious he needs a change.
That's
of
a safe one. That's okay. You know what that is? He won't take any heat from any of the players.
Yeah, right.
DJ Bienemy knows, like, well, I mean, no one's going to say anything because he's probably going to
get
cut.
He is the most obvious. He's the
most
obvious.
Yeah, I know he is. I mean, you're right. He is. I just kind of figure, like, he's not going to be an NFL player much anymore.
Well, I'm sure
no matter where he goes. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just kind of, I haven't in 3 years. You haven't really been a player, so
yeah,
I'm having a hard time with.
So yeah, the biggest he writes the biggest indictment on Green was after being activated off a 4-week IR stint for his shoulder. They didn't play him for the rest of the season, and they needed
help.
And
they had an issue at that position.
Yes. Wow, it is big. It's been a rough go for Kenyon Green. I would imagine he doesn't feel great about his NFL career right now. But you know what? A change of scenery could do him good.
Well, it's the only thing you can do.
Why is he still around? Is there maybe salary? I mean, do they have to go after June 1st? Do you have to wait if you're him? I mean, do you?
Well, you can. There's no rush. You need camp bodies too. You can just cut them in camp if you want to. Let him go through. Just see if there's anything that he pulls. You know, a rabbit out of the hat. And if not, he's just one of the cuts. You still have you still got to fill out your roster. There's no reason to get rid of him right now. Like, it doesn't really – it's not going to save you all that much money. So, although it'll save you a little bit, but not a ton.
And there's
not
guys,
enough to make any difference.
There's guys out here, like the Eagles, they say they need to get rid of James Bradbury. I wouldn't mind a little James Bradbury. I don't love his contract, but I wouldn't mind if they picked up, you know, some or you know, if they had to cut him and you get him at a – because they got Mitchell and they got DeGene. They don't need him. Jonathan Allen is out there, possibly out there. He's got a deal that he would count $23 million against the cap. That's a guy that, you know what, you might be able to get something out of a Jonathan Allen, right? I mean, there's guys that could put quite possibly Jair Alexander. I mean, we've been hearing that he's on the move from the Packers.
They're done with him because he's just not staying healthy and. They say he's not playing as well, but he's one that would be intriguing to me if you could afford him. I mean, you know, he could be reborn. You put him in. I think some of those players sometimes just get Green Bay'd out. They just are not built for Green Bay, and it may wear on them some. He's one that I would be really curious to see what he's got left. on the other side of Stingley. I think that would be a great addition.
That would be
just,
nice. Yeah.
I just don't know. You know, I don't know what the financials are going to be. I spoke with somebody who lives near Green Bay, who lives in Madison. How far away is that, John? I don't even know.
Madison is a ways away
from Green Bay.
Madison. Madison is 2.5-3 hours away. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this guy knows Green Bay pretty well. Yeah. He's and I said, how are they doing the draft? He works over here at NFL Network, and he's in town. And I said, how's the draft going to work out? I said, usually Daniel Jeremiah, because I'm hoping I don't have to go on Sunday and do the whole week out in L.A. for the draft. I'm hoping they just bring me in like Wednesday, and I just do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I said, you don't think they'll send Daniel, like, is that a place where you'd want to go? Because usually DJ, like last year, he went early. He left on Monday, so I had to go on early and do Path to the Draft and these other TV shows. And I'm like, you don't think Daniel would like, is that a place you'd go for a whole week of the draft, Green Bay? And Chad goes, no, that's not typical.
You're going to have to, but yeah, no.
He goes, that's not what you'd love to do is be there for the whole week. But because I'm just hoping he goes later so I don't have to go out there so early. But I said, well, what are they going to do about the draft? Tell me about how it's set up. And because all these people come in for the draft, he goes, well, he said, you know, they have 150,000 people in the city for Packer games. So that's not a problem. He said, and I said, well, what about the hotels? He goes, well, this is the issue. You're going to be 20 miles north. You're going to be 30 miles west. You're going to be in Milwaukee. He said, the problem is you're not going to be really walkable. And he said, it's not really short drives. It's going to be, you know, everything for the draft is going to be, he said, it won't be a problem. People will just make one trip in for the day and they make one trip back. He said, but they won't be staying around there. It's like there is no, and it's, I already knew that. You've told me that. Everyone said that. Yeah. But this is like, you probably get one draft and you're done. You're never getting it again because this is just not set up well. And I can tell you, everyone here, so this is the deal. The combine, I talked about this a little on Twitter. Houston wants to get a combine. Houston's should get 0% consideration, should get no consideration. It's not set up for a combine at all. The location of NRG Stadium is not conducive to having hotel stays there. Nothing would be close. The allure of Indianapolis is everything is walkable. Almost everything is walkable. The medicals are in the same place. And you can't do a convention center and NRG Stadium. Just too far. It's just, that doesn't make any sense. If you busted down the dome and rebuilt something there, that would take a long time anyway, but that would give you a chance because then you could have a convention center and hotel there. So that would actually put you in pretty good shape to bid for that. But it's a bidding process. So they're making Indianapolis try to bid to hang on and save. You know, Minnesota wants it. You think everyone wants to go to Minnesota in February?
No. Now,
granted, this is the warmest. They've never had a warmer. This is the warmest it's been. We're in a, I think, high 50s or low 60s. It's the warmest day that they've ever had in history here the last couple days. But do you think anyone wants to go take a chance to be in Minnesota in February? And that's one of the cities that wants to get the combine. So hopefully it just stays here in Indianapolis where it's built to. But, you know, the NFL is going to.
You know the NFL. They want to get that money to pay, the cities will pay or whatever. You're the greediest league in the history of sports.
I can't say that per se. They maximize profit.
Yes, they do.
The owners like to maximize their product.
And they pass it on to their employees who work for NFL.com.
713-780-3776 is our number.
Right. And if you need to sue the NFL
I'm not going to sue. No one has personally injured me. If the NFL is injuring you in any way,
John Daspit is here for you.
If I get personally injured, it better be a really, really good one if I'm going to sue them. And if I do, it's going to be John Daspit. I think we know. It's going to be John Daspit who any personal injury cases I have, it's going to go through John Daspit because John Daspit is the best. He's the best. His law firm is the best. They have a ton of lawyers. And the reason they do that is they want a very good ratio. You know how in class you want a good student-to-teacher ratio so everyone gets attention? It's the same thing with the caseload. He wants a small amount of caseload for each lawyer so that they can really dive deep and get all the information they need. And there's a lot of discovery to be done when you're injured on the roadway, at work, a severe injury, a loss of life, whatever the case, loss of limb, an injury that's going to last forever. That's one of the things he has to look for. Like, how long is this injury likely to last? They go talk to orthopedic doctors. They do the x-rays. They find out everything because the insurance company needs to pay for your pain and suffering, for the bills that you are going to not be able to pay, and all that money that you're not going to make when you're off of work. Like, it needs to cover all of that. And so there's a lot of work to be done, and they do that work for you, and they fight for you, and they're successful for you. It's not enough to win. John Daspit wants to blow them away and make sure that you are the one who everyone considers to be the king of the world, and everyone else is a sorry people, okay? Or especially the insurance company who's trying to screw you. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW at 713-CALL-NOW.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you would like to hang out with us here on the show, you're more than welcome to get in with us. Who are you? Oh, that's Harold.
Yeah.
Behind you.
We were taking shots. That's at Uncle Freddie's wedding.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
back
yeah.
In the day, we were
oh,
doing yeah. Every time I'm with Harold, we end up doing shots, and it just
yeah,
goes.
That's
I made Nicole do here. See, she had to do a shot with us, my wife. It didn't go well for her.
It didn't. No,
she's not a shot person. No, me and Harold.
The last
shot
couple
people.
Of times, Harold was at my place. He took home a lot of money in our
did
in
he?
Poker game. Yeah,
yeah. Just give us some time.
He and Freddie are not afraid to ever put money in the pot.
Nope.
No. And he catches some unbelievable cards, that Harold. Yes, he does. Yes,
he's one
he
of
does.
My favorite people.
He's a great guy.
Harold's
great
one
guy.
Of my all-time favorite people. So is Uncle Freddie.
Yep. Did you see, the Amen stats? By the way, Amen is making himself first team all defense, right? I don't even know that this is arguable.
I bet
arguable.
He doesn't make first team.
Ooh, I bet you he does. I'm going to bet you right now. Amen
he doesn't
Thompson
have enough
is first
personal.
Team.
I don't think enough people know him.
All NBA defense.
Oh,
he is.
Right
he
right
gets a lot of love nationally. People know who Amen is.
We'll see. We'll
yeah.
see. Like, they know he's playing well. I don't know if they know how he defends. Ime Udoka wouldn't give it to him. Ime Udoka is like supposedly are some of these guys who are supposedly good defenders. Remember that?
Players are shooting 40.1% field goal percentage when guarded by Amen Thompson this season, the lowest in the NBA per Stat Mamba. He is an elite defender. Dude is absolutely going to be first team all defense. Did you see this? Jalen Green's last Brad Doe put up. Jalen Green's last 82 games. That's an NBA season. His last 82 games. 22 points a game, 4.8 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 0.9 steals per game. 56 true shooting percentage, 36.2 three-point percentage, 82% free throw percentage. And the Rockets are 52-32. They can't be 52-32 because that's too many games. That's 84 games. So the Rockets are either 50-32 or whatever. And he hasn't missed a single game. This, Dell, your criticism of him, my criticism of him, has been an inconsistency. These numbers over 82 games, is he changing an opinion?
No, because the fluctuations are too great. Like, if this was what we saw every night, cool. But there was a stretch of games where he was playing like an MVP candidate, and then he'll have a stretch where he's unplayable, it feels like. I don't need the fluctuations, because that's an average of 82 or 84, whatever. That's because of the highs are so high and the lows are so low, and that's what you come out to. I would much rather prefer a Jalen Green who was steady and was putting up those type of numbers every night, as opposed to what we get. Sure.
Well,
I mean, but we watch him play night to night, and you go, I can't believe this. Why does he keep shooting? He's 4-for-15 on the night.
Well, but those days are really few and far between now.
9-of-17,
9-of-20, 9-of-21, 12-of-24.
Since the All-Star break, he's been good. But we do this every year with him. We do this every
– This is a different guy, though, I think. I think he's turned a corner.
He wouldn't be the first player who got better.
It's not a question of whether he's going to get better. I'm not questioning whether he's going to get better. He's 22, 23. Of course, he is going to get better. He is not going to be a stagnant player. But I remain steadfast with this. Can we remove, as you said, John, maybe they're few and far between since the All-Star break. Can we remove the awful shooting nights where you're shooting yourself and your team out of a game? And if those numbers were just flat across the board, across 82 games, I'd be thrilled. But the tour date stuff happens too often. And if what we've seen the last month or so is going to be what we see going forward, then I'm cool. Great. What do you be doing?
Well, here's the deal, though. I think they're getting, and I'm with you, but I do see a better Jalen Green now. This past month, February, and last month, he's had a 30% shooting game, a 38, a 30, and there were three in a row, 35. But the rest of them, 45, 40, 36, 40, 47, 50%, 43%, 45%, 53%. I mean, he's getting a lot more consistent. Those games where he's, 4 for 16, 3 for 13 are getting fewer and far between now. He's throwing up a lot of 9 for 21s, which is a 43% game. That's fine. 10 for 21, 10 for 22. He's still some of them, but he is a lot more consistent than he was in previous years. Now, he's got to continue to... Well, he usually finishes strong, too. So,
I don't think he feels the same pressure to score as much. Like, in his own mind, he knows he's got guys around him. Like he does. He's got a bunch of guys who can score on his team now. So it's a different vibe for him. He's in his own mind. So you are what you think you are. And if your own perception of yourself is someone who is, has to score a lot, or you're a – that's why Kenyon Green – right now, I'm sure he has a very negative perception of himself. So it's a self, in some ways, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. He's thinking negative. I'm not good. I struggle. He goes in with no confidence, and it perpetuates things. With Jalen Green, I think at some point, he's thinking, I'm a shooter. I've got to score for us to win. Mass shooter. It doesn't matter what my shooting percentage is. I've just got to get points. And at some point, he probably thinks, well, I'm a good player. I can get to the rack. We're a good team. Because now his perception of his team is different. His perception of his teammates is different. There's a good chance that he just sees. And I think what's happened is he shoots better. Like, not only does he take fewer bad shots, he also is a better three-point shooter. So all of those are very helpful.
The last 2 months, 36.4 and 42.7 from three.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'm seeing a lot more consistent. I was with you. I mean, the ups and downs. And early in the season, he had his ups and downs. And 27% in November from three. Not 37% from the field. Terrible. But man, he is putting together himself. He's putting together a nice season right now. And those inconsistencies are starting to go away. And listen, what about availability? Dude doesn't miss a game. He does not miss. And that is something to be said in this NBA. This dude, he's there every night for Ime. In this economy.
In this economy, NBA, we got a guy who plays every night and shoots well from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So, Dell, you just keep your hating. I love it. You keep hating on him.
You can call it hate all you want, but there's a lot of love being thrown to a guy who's still shooting. He's still a 43% shooter. He's fine. I mean, he's fine. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than cool. I mean, we're in year four, and I expect him to get better, but the numbers are relative to what he has been. They're not relative to one of the best shooting guards in the NBA.
He's on the come-up.
This is what we're having a discussion about. He is improving, but he's still in the teens of shooting guards in the NBA. Something like that.
Yeah,
maybe 15, 16. I don't know if he's top half.
Maybe higher. I think he's higher than that.
Isn't he getting paid like that?
Well, he will be next year.
Well, no, he yeah, right. I mean, it's not like he got a max deal.
But he's a he was drafted to be one of those guys. We can talk about what his money is, but his status, where he was drafted, what the expectations were for him to be one of the best players in the league. And now we're in year four, and I'm glad he's gotten better. But relative, we're talking relative to what he has been as opposed to what he's supposed to be, at least in the Rockets' eyes. They didn't draft him to be what he is now. I mean, obviously, maybe 3 or 4 years from now, I think they expect him to be a star. And what he is now is a good player on a roster full of good players.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's break, and let's talk for a minute here about you, about your health, about your how you feel about yourself, about, you know, Lance was just talking about that. What is your mental, and by the way, the Game Day Men's Health, it's not only physically that they can help you, but they can help you mentally as well, all right? Get you in the right frame of mind. Get you, I mean, it's not like it's a dispensary, but it actually is something that can help you focus better. It can help you work better. It can may help you feel better about yourself, feel better about, you know, being intimate with someone. I mean, all of those things. It really can. There are so many different peptides that can help you get to where you want to get to. Do you feel sluggish? Do you not feel yourself? Do you feel like you're lethargic? Do you feel like, you know, you don't have energy? All of these things. Are you not feeling as good as you used to feel? Listen, when you get older, you're not going to feel as good as you used to feel. So, you know, how about a little something that will help me feel better? Well, first of all, testosterone. Let's find out. Got a lab right there at every Game Day Men's Health. You got a free evaluation to find out whether or not you do need testosterone, but you might need something else. It might not be testosterone. You might need some help elsewhere, and Game Day Men's Health can help you there too. They've got locations all over the city. And it's easy, and it's wonderful, and I've been doing testosterone for a while, and they're just better. GameDayMensHealth.com. Tell them you heard it here. GameDayMensHealth.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.